Today, for our sermon, we'll be continuing our series on the epistles of John. We'll be covering 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. So you can follow along with me on the screen, or if you have your Bibles, you also can follow along on your own. So verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. In case you don't know, my name is Joseph T. I'm one of the pastoral staff here in Zion Serangoon. And I have to share with you that the last few weeks has been rewarding, but tremendously challenging, having a newborn and struggling with sleep deprivation. But I really want to thank the people here in Zion, not only my biological family, but the church family, people who prayed for us, who gathered around us. So really want to thank you that it shows us how important community is. And I think this is a theme that we will hear as we have this sermon. And so let me start off with a story. Maybe it sounds familiar, but maybe not. So this story is about this bright-eyed, pretty 5-year-old girl called Jenny. So one day, she and her mother were checking out at the supermarket, and Jenny saw a plastic pearl necklace priced at $5. Oh, how she wanted that necklace. And when she asked her mother if she could buy it for her, the mom said, well, it's a pretty necklace, but it costs a lot of money. I'll tell you what, I'll buy you the necklace, and when we get home, we can make up a list of chores that you can do to pay for the necklace. And don't forget that your birthday, Ama might give you a big hongbao, okay? So Jenny agreed, and her mom bought the necklace, the pearl necklace for her. Jenny worked on her chores every day, very hard. And sure enough, her Ama also gave her a big hongbao for her birthday. Soon, Jenny paid off for all the pearls. And how Jenny loved those pearls. She wore them everywhere, to kindergarten, to bed, and when she went out with her mom to run errands. The only time she didn't wear them was in the shower, because her mom told her that they would turn her neck green. Now, I'm not sure about you, but have you noticed that sometimes we act a bit like this little Jenny here? Not that you want toy pearls, I hope not, but maybe you feel that there's things in this world that can satisfy you. That there are things in this world that will, once you have it, it'll make you happy. So there could be some things that pop up in your mind right now. If you are studying, maybe it's that perfect grade. If I just get this grade, I just do well in my exam, I'll be very happy. Maybe that some of you are thinking, if I just meet that special someone, that someone will make me happy. Or maybe some of you are thinking, oh, if I just get that special amount in my bank account or that special returns in my investment, then I'll be happy. Or perhaps some of you are very, maybe typical Singaporeans, if only the travel restrictions are gone, I can finally travel overseas, then I'll be happy. Whatever the thing may be, we admit that some things in the world, they do satisfy us. Don't get me wrong, they do. But they don't satisfy us for very long, right? Sooner or later, we start looking for something else to satisfy. After that perfect holiday is gone, we look for the next holiday. After we reach that perfect amount in our bank account, we look for the next amount. Ultimately, our particular pearl toy necklaces, they reveal our hearts. It reveals the relentless yearning of our hearts to find that one thing or that one person that will truly satisfy us. And in Singapore, we have many of these options around, right? And most of it at our fingertips. So if you're more tech-savvy, you know that on your phones, you can go on a lot of online apps like Lazada, Shopee, whatever. You can buy almost anything. Or if you want to satisfy the desires of your eyes, just for a few clicks on your own phone, you can access internet porn just to satisfy yourself. Or perhaps you want to gossip and tell certain interesting news, just go on WhatsApp. You can just contact someone and spread some interesting stories. All is that to say is that in our world, it's so easy to look for things in the world to satisfy us. But instead, shouldn't it be God? Shouldn't God be the one that truly satisfies the deepest yearning of our souls? So far, if you are new with us, we've been covering the epistles of John, particularly 1 John, and we were talking about how we have to walk in the light, because God is light. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Yap shared how there are different Christians in different spiritual maturity, and yet everyone should be focused on finding satisfaction in Christ alone. Now today, as we cover a pretty heavy topic, I hope you can consider this question. How deep is your love for Jesus? Are you loving the world or are you loving Jesus? Let's pray together and ask the Spirit to help us consider these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are able to bring us here for service, either online or in person. Father God, as we talk about different aspects of our love for the world, God, I know it's difficult. I know it's tough to look deep inside and reflect upon our own lives. But God, only your Spirit can illuminate our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that you be with us. May your Spirit examine us and reveal our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start off with the most obvious thing in verse 15. It says this in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, hopefully this makes sense to all of us, especially if you've been in church long enough. As one commentator puts it, the believer has a singular loyalty and commitment to the Father. You're supposed to love God alone. And as I said, you probably know this very well. It's probably something taught to us in Sunday school. And Jesus pointed it out as well in the Gospels. We see in Matthew 6, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love God and money. As Jesus points out, no one can serve two masters. I think that's pretty obvious, right? So if you understand that, and you and I know that, I guess we can call it a day and go for brunch already, right? But deep down, don't you think that we know this logically, but deep in our hearts, we know that this isn't always so straightforward. There are times when we find ourselves falling in love with the world. And the concern is, if we love the world, it says in 1 John, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is a very strong warning, right? So some of you, maybe you're like me, we hear this commandment, we hear this imperative, do not love the world, and we say to ourselves, yeah, I never love, huh? I just sometimes flirt. I flirt with the world. And what do I mean by flirting with the world? We say that, no, la, we don't really love the things of the world. We grew up in church so long, I know not to do that. But then we are tempted. We are tempted to find satisfaction in what the world offers. No matter how temporal, no matter how fleeting, we somehow want to flirt with what the world has to offer. And I think practically, we know this in our lives. If you are dating someone exclusively or if you're married, you know that you shouldn't be romantically involved with anyone else, right? Exclusive. But what happens if you meet a new coworker and you start flirting with them? Or what if you spend long hours with someone who's not your partner? Like, you might say, ah, yeah, it's okay, well, we never kiss or anything. But deep down, you and I know that it will just lead you down this road of falling in love with someone who you're not supposed to. You can find out that you may not commit physical adultery, but maybe you end up committing emotional adultery, falling more and more in love with someone you're not supposed to. You see, we get that when we think about it practically, right, in relationships. But right now, how about our relationship with God? Are we kind of doing that? We say we don't love the world, but we kind of flirt. We kind of, you know, try to look out for things that will satisfy us. And so this is what Apostle John is talking about. And maybe you're thinking like me, hey, where God? No, I never do that with the world, right? But think about it again. How deep is your love for Jesus? Apostle John moves on in verse 16 to list out the things that we desire in the world. So in verse 16, it says this, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Now, obviously, John isn't covering exhaustively what the world has to offer, but he does bring out three main things that I think we should take note of. The first thing he says about desires of the flesh. Now, if you're like me, maybe you straight away think about sexual desires, right? Oh, that's what he's talking about. Well, not exactly. Many commentators and scholars, they pointed out that this desire of the flesh is not just sexual desires, but anything that satisfies your flesh. Like perhaps in Singapore, you have lots of good food, right? Is there a temptation that we turn to gluttony, turn to overeating? Or maybe for some of us, it's alcohol and drunkenness. That's also a desire of the flesh. Or maybe some of us is the gambling addiction. Or maybe more commonly, I suspect, it's about gossiping, where we, as I said, turn to WhatsApp and just share juicy, non-verifiable information with others just to get that high. Now, obviously, it's not exhaustive, but I hope you get the point that desires of the flesh is not just sexual, but there are things in this world that we subtly turn to satisfy us. So let me ask you this question. What type of desire of the flesh is God warning you about this morning? What particular thing is the Spirit prompting you right now? So Apostle John moves on. He moves on to also an aspect called the pride of life. Now, some commentators or other translations, they translate this as pride of possessions. So this is what Apostle John is saying, that there are things in the world, material things, that will seek to satisfy you. And if you're honest, in Singapore, we are a pretty wealthy country. We are bombarded with materialism and consumerism wherever we go. And if we are not careful, me included, we start to think that, hey, if I have this one thing, right, I will truly be happy. I'm not sure if you still watch TV adverts, but what TV adverts show you is that, hey, you buy my product, right, you'll be very, very happy. You know, that's how subtle it is in our world. And for me, I'm not immune, if I can be honest. I don't have a temptation with cars or temptation with buying a new property or whatever. My temptation is headphones. It's very weird, but I really like the new headphones from Sony or Bose or whatever it may be. And it's very common for me to go online, I'll check out the latest tech review of, you know, handphones, but particularly headphones. And then I always see, wow, this one got better sound quality, this one got good noise cancellation, got LDAC, wow, very good. And I really, really bought into this aspect that, wow, if I get this pair of headphones, right, wow, I'll be very happy. I can listen to my music everywhere. No one will bother me. And I remember my wife, once I shared this with my wife, that, hey, I want to get this new pair of headphones. She said to me, hey, how many pairs of ears you have? Why you need so many headphones? And it may be a bit shocking or direct, but that's a good reminder. My God was using my wife to remind me that, hey, why am I so obsessed with this material goods? Why am I so obsessed with headphones? When I take a step back, it's actually pretty ridiculous, right? I already am happy with what I have. But yet, again and again, I'm always tempted to find that new pair, that cool pair, that updated version. I wonder if maybe you relate with me. You may not be tempted by headphones, but is there something that you are always craving for that you think once you have that thing, you are satisfied? So what is that one particular material possession that you think will satisfy you? What is that one thing that you think will satisfy you? Now, the third thing that Apostle John talks about is the desires of the eyes. Again, it's not supposed to be exclusively about sexual desires, but I hope to take time to elaborate on this, because there is a temptation that we all face in this world with desires of the eyes. And that's the issue of pornography, internet porn. And this is an issue that many people in church are struggling with, but not many people talk about it in church. Even for myself, I have to be on guard. It's not because I'm a church staff, therefore I'm immune to this. I think all of us have to be on guard with this desire of the eyes. Now, there was a survey done. I went online to check it out. On this website, Salt and Light, they checked out the stats. And can you imagine that in 210 countries surveyed in the world on the number of time spent on porn websites, Singapore is ranked number 2. And 70% of men aged 18 to 34 visit a porn site in a certain month. But this isn't just a male issue. 1 in 6 women struggle with porn addiction. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because there's this porn pandemic, in a sense, that's running through our churches and society. When I was in St. Louis, I also attended this extra training by this ministry called First Light Ministries. And this ministry is meant to cater for men and women who struggle with sexual brokenness. And I attended a training, and there was one particular graphic or this cycle. It was very helpful for me. So it talked about this Cain cycle of addiction, and it helped to just break down what happens during an addiction. So this is not just talking about porn addiction, but any addiction you may face: alcohol, gambling, drugs. But particularly for porn addiction, it actually helped me to understand better what a person goes through. So if you can see on that graph at the top, there's this wounded self. So essentially, there are times in our lives that we feel wounded. There may be a need that we don't meet. So perhaps it's like someone who ignores you and you don't feel attended to. Whatever that need may be, you don't feel that need. And then soon you feel bad about it. After maybe you had a bad fight with your partner or friend, or you had a bad grade, you feel wounded, and then you start to feel shame because you can't seem to meet that need. Then now when you move down, you see this preoccupation and fantasy. There's this point where people get into this like trance-like state where they're just thinking about acting out so that they can satisfy themselves, because they feel wounded, they feel hurt, they want to do something about it, they want to get some control. So they enter into this trance-like state, they go to a ritual. From fantasy, they go to ritual where they try to prepare how they can act out. And then soon they move on to acting out, which is either porn or masturbation. And then after that, there's despair. And I think a lot of people, they will feel this like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I feel terrible. I feel dirty. I shouldn't have done that. But notice with me the graph, it goes back to that preoccupation and fantasy. Because when you're in despair, you're wounded, your needs are not satisfied, you feel if you're going to start the cycle again. And one thing that the trainer was telling me was very interesting. He said, during this cycle, the key thing to break out of it, right, is community. He said a key thing that needs to be done is that people need to enter in and help you, to help you disconnect from this cycle. And isn't that, as I thought about it again, it's very similar to what 1 John talks about. Because John says that don't walk in darkness, walk in the light, because God is light. And right here in this addiction, it strives, it flourishes in darkness. It's especially bad if you are in darkness, you're not reaching out to a community. This is what will happen. You'll just be stuck in this cycle. Now, obviously, I can't unpack everything about pornography in this short time. But one thing I wanted to let you know is that if you think that this is a real struggle for you, we as a church want to come together and properly help each other. But as we look at this again, this cycle, this desire of the eyes is linked to the desires of the flesh, the pride of life. And do you notice there's a common theme with all of them? So if we take a step back and you think about it, all of these things are telling us that there is a need that you want satisfied. And we think that this need can be satisfied with the world, with what the world has to offer. So a Christian author and pastor, Paul Tripp, he gave this equation or this phrase. So he said this, if only I could have blank, then my life would be blank. Now I want to ask you, what would you fill in this blank? What is that thing that you could have? Then your life would be blank. I want to give you some moments to think about it. What do you think that you need so that your life would be something else? Now, why this is important is because if you are serious and reflecting upon this question, it shows you your heart. It shows what is the struggle that you are really facing. It goes back to the whole theme again, is how deep is your love for Jesus? Now, as I shared with you all this, I'm telling you that the world cannot satisfy you. The things in the world cannot satisfy you. Only Jesus can. But do we really believe that? Actually, John does tell you that, yes, Jesus can satisfy. Look in verse 17. It says this, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. John is pointing out that don't waste time on things that will fade away in the end. Focus on God. Focus on doing the will of God. Focus on Jesus who can truly satisfy you. And this satisfaction will last for eternity. Now, as I shared all these things with you about the desires of the world, the things in the world, I know it's a pretty heavy topic. I know some of you, maybe you're just feeling super terrible. You're feeling despair. You're feeling like, what's the point? I'm hearing all these things. I feel so beaten up. I feel so terrible. I feel so shameful. I feel that no one can love me. If God knows what I did that night, no one can love me. And if you think that way, I want to encourage you, look to Jesus. Because only in Jesus can you find true forgiveness and freedom. In Jesus, you truly can be free from your addiction or your sin, that His blood can cleanse you clean. And maybe some of you may be thinking, I failed again. Never mind, I'll just try harder next time. I'll just grit my teeth and just do it. I just won't do anything wrong again. You just use your own strength to try to be better. And I want to encourage you, if you think that way, stop trying so hard without Jesus. Look to Jesus. You don't have to always depend on your own strength because God is with you. God will strengthen you. God will help you overcome such sin. And why I say that, do you remember that Jesus himself was tempted in the desert? Remember, he was tempted by Satan before his earthly ministry. And Satan appealed to Christ with valid human needs, okay? About food, reassurance, about success. But notice that Christ himself resisted temptation entirely, utterly. He was dedicated to the will of the Father. So he knows what it means to resist temptation. He knows the cost of resisting temptation. When you and I are tempted to love the world or to love the things in the world, we look to Jesus. We look to the author and completer of our faith. He is our example. He is our motivation. He is our enabler. You and I do not have to succumb to temptation anymore. Because as we look to the cross, all our sins are paid by Him. Can I say that again? When you look to the cross, your past, present, and future sins are paid by Jesus. Not because of what you've done, but out of God's grace for you, out of His love for you. Even if the sin of watching porn, Christ has paid it all. That in Jesus, you are now a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand, interceding for you for all the wrongs that we have done. And I want to share with you that you don't have to dwell in your shame and guilt anymore. You don't have to feel so terrible and hopeless because there is Jesus. There is true forgiveness and freedom in Jesus. As 1 John reminded us earlier on, if we confess our sins, if we repent and truly turn to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can have full forgiveness in Christ. You don't have to carry your shame anymore. You don't have to work so hard to earn forgiveness anymore. All the things in the past that you did, things that you make you think that you feel unlovable, Christ has paid it all. I think some of you may be here, you're listening to what I have to say, and maybe you're just sick and tired of your constant temptation and sin. You're sick and tired of disobeying God. You're sick and tired of your shame and guilt you carry everywhere. I want to encourage you, come to Jesus. Whether you are here for the first time today or you've been here for decades, all of us need to come to Jesus. So may I encourage you, consider Jesus. Get to know Him personally. Spend time with Him. Repent of your sins and find that forgiveness in Him. As I shared earlier, it is so important that community is present. And that's why I want to encourage you, even in the midst of us going to phase 3 and opening up, I want to keep encouraging you, go for DGs. Keep coming back to church because we have proper safety procedures in place. Keep in contact over WhatsApp. I hope that all of us, as we think about the guilt and shame and sin that we have committed, we remember that we are still part of the body to encourage one another. As C.S. Lewis, a famous Christian author, said, our passions are not too strong. They are too weak. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased with what the world has to offer. We are far too easily pleased and that we stop looking to Jesus who can truly satisfy us. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water, this physical water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Only Jesus can truly satisfy. Only Jesus can truly satisfy. He is inviting you and I to him. No matter what has happened in the past, no matter how you're feeling, Jesus is calling you back to him. How deep is your love for Jesus? Only He can truly satisfy. Now, remember the story I told you at the beginning about little Jenny? Well, Jenny also had a very loving daddy. And when Jenny went to bed, he would get up from his favorite chair every night and read Jenny her favorite story. One night when he finished the story, he said to Jenny, Jenny, do you love me? Oh, yes, daddy, you know I love you, the little girl said. Well then, give me your pearls. Oh, daddy, not my pearls, Jenny said. But you can have Rosie, my favorite doll. Remember her? You gave her to me last year for my birthday. And you can even have a tea party outfit, okay? Oh no, darling, that's okay. Her father brushed her cheek with a kiss. Good night, little one. A week later, her father once again asked Jenny after her story, do you love me? Oh yes, daddy, you know I love you. Well then, give me your pearls. Oh, daddy, not my pearls, but you can have ribbons, my toy horse, yeah. Do you remember her? She's my favorite. Her hair is so soft, and you can play with it and braid it and everything. You can have ribbons if you want her, daddy, the little girl said to her. No, that's okay, her father said, and brushed her cheek again with a kiss. God bless you, little one. Sweet dreams. Several days later, when Jenny's father came to read her a story, Jenny was sitting on the bed, and her lips were trembling. Here, daddy, she said, and held out her hand. She opened it and her beloved pearl necklace were inside. She let it slip into her father's hand. With one hand, her father held the plastic pearls, and with the other, he pulled out of his pocket a blue velvet box. Inside of the box were real, genuine, beautiful pearls. And he had them all along. He was just waiting for Jenny to give up the cheap stuff so that he could give her the real thing. Isn't that the way with our Heavenly Father? He's waiting for us to give up the cheap stuff in this world so that he can give us Jesus, the one who can truly satisfy. Today, we are reminded not to love the things of the world or things in the world. However, more often than not, we flirt with the world and unknowingly fall in love with it, including the desires of the flesh, desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there is hope, and I need to emphasize this, there is hope, because in Jesus, we have full forgiveness. In Jesus, his grace frees us from sin. In Jesus, we are provided the deepest satisfaction of our souls that nothing in this world can give. It's only in Jesus do we have hope. How deep is your love for Jesus? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that as we come before you, we are faced with real struggles, Lord, and things that we often want to hide in the darkness. But God, you invite us out. You show us that you are light, and you want to give us the love and this satisfaction that only Jesus can give. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone who is watching or who are here, may your Spirit continue to work in our hearts to find true satisfaction in you, to find ourselves loving you above everything else. We pray that you help us, Lord, through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you're able, please stand with me as we respond or turning to Jesus.